Okay.
Hello and welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transportation in the city of Oaks. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm James. Today we're going to be talking about a relatively new form of transportation, ride sharing.
That's right. Unlike most of the other forms of transit we've talked about, some of which have been around for hundreds of years, ride sharing has been around for less than 10.
Yeah, and while it's similar in a lot of ways to taxis, which have been around for 120 years, and yes, that's the exact age I checked. They were first manufactured and operated in Germany and built by Daimler, the same company that today manufactures Mercedes.
I don't think I've ever been in a Mercedes taxi before, but that sounds pretty nice.
And you probably won't be climbing into a Mercedes when you use like a rideshare like Lyft or Uber, unless you order Uber Select, which offers a, quote, high-end ride in a nice car.
All right. Maybe I'll give that a try. So you've done a few weekends as an Uber driver, I hear. So is that what you use your Mercedes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The drunk college kids, they absolutely love it. You know, it's quite an upgrade for them from the Honda Civic. But it's funny. My real car is a Toyota Corolla. And one of the perks, I'm making air quotes with my fingers right now, of being a driver is that passengers can award you these different kinds of badges, like nice amenities, clean car, great conversation, all-star driver, that kind of stuff. But there's one I figured I'd never get, which was cool car. But all of a sudden, a few weeks ago, I got a message that one of my passengers had apparently been very impressed with my 2009 Corolla.
So this is different than saying you have a clean car, though.
Apparently, because I've never gotten that one, although I do keep my car very clean when I'm out Ubering, so I would have expected that one over the cool car, because I love my car, but it's not cool. It's a Toyota.
Well, they're reliable. They're perfectly great cars, James. And as far as the clean goes, people have high standards because, I mean, I have seen some really clean cars.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't get it detailed or anything, but I have a little like shop vac thing that I use to clean it out.
Well, I'll check it out and I'll let you know.
Well, it's not clean now. I haven't gone out in a few days.
So. Oh, well, then never mind. So you do Uber, though, not Lyft. Is there a reason for that? I only use Lyft, by the way, because Uber has had many a misstep, shall we say.
Yeah, and I've heard that from some of my friends as well. That they said, "Oh yeah, I don't take Uber, I take Lyft." And I hate to be like that guy or sound like a company man for a company I'm not even technically employed by. I'm an independent contractor, but I think that's just mostly marketing press. And Uber has dealt with its share of PR issues. The founder always seems to put his foot in his mouth or do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing. And you know, I think they ran a very aggressive type of company. So you know that hurt. They made a lot of enemies. You know, as far as I know, both services utilize the same background check service. Both services, it's usually the same drivers. Of course, I've heard from Uber drivers that Lyft passengers are ones that get booted off the Uber platform. I doubt that. I don't think people really get kicked off unless they do something very egregious. But who knows? I only do Uber. If you do both, you have to keep switching between the apps and cancel requests if you're in one and the other pings. And I don't know. For me, it's a hassle. It's already like I don't like having to play with my phone while I'm driving. Anyway, and I know a lot of drivers run both. Uber keeps me busy enough on the weekends, and it has a much larger user base than Lyft. If I was doing this full time, I'd probably need to run both just to stay busy, you know.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. But since it's just your, like, you know, side hustle, whatever. So how many rides would you give on a typical Friday night? How late do you stay out?
I usually go out around 10:30, stay out till maybe about 3 or so. Sometimes later, I always take a long nap between my day job and going out, you know, get home maybe at 4:30. Go to sleep by 5:30, and you know it's like 4 hours of sleep. It's nice. And as for rides, maybe 15 to 20 in a night, really depends on how long the trips are. You know, a lot of the bar crowd is pretty local. A lot of the college students live on Hillsboro but go out to Glenwood South as a driver is a total nightmare at 2 a.m. It's just I blame all the other Uber and Lyft drivers for parking in the middle of the street and waiting for their passengers, which I don't do.
But they do that? That's rude.
Oh, yeah. So it's beyond obnoxious.
So I think the problem I see with this, at least it would bother me, is you're mostly just driving around drunk college students, right? Not necessarily college students. They could be 27-year-olds.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say drunk adults as well as drunk college students. Yeah. And, you know, if I stay out long enough, I'll start catching some early morning airport rides where I assume the passengers are mostly sober.
Well, you can't assume anything, James. You know, 4 a.m, maybe somebody needs it.
Right, yeah. They got an early flight. They need to steady their nerves for it. Who knows?
So how about some nightmare stories? Anyone thrown up in your car yet?
I did have one girl. She came close, but her friends managed to get her outside of the car in time. So that was fortunate. The worst I've had is someone spilled their hot chocolate. So, you know, it smelled good.
Yeah, that's a lot different than
yeah. And it wasn't too much of a hassle to clean up. I had to pull over and, you know, scrub it out, but no big deal.
Is there an upcharge for that?
They will charge you a cleaning fee. I heard if someone gets sick in your car, it's like $250, which, you know, at the end of the night, if someone got sick in my car, $250.
Like, you get all that, right?
I get all that, and I could probably get it detailed for like $100. So, you know, I'm making a nice little profit on that. But I'd still rather no one vomit in the car.
I was going to say, just, if you want me to, I
yeah, try. You'll pay for it. Yeah, it's pretty gross. And you have to send in a picture to Ubers to discourage, you know, people lying about it. Because some of the drivers out there, at least according to the posts they make on internet forums for Uber drivers, you know, they're out there for themselves. And you know, and they give the impression that every passenger is the devil incarnate. But really, 99% of the people I've picked up have been great. And it's a late night crowd, which is supposed to be worse.
Yeah, I guess I've worked in bars, and you definitely have a lot of people who aren't on their best behavior by 2 a.m. And no judgment. I've totally been there for sure. I'm really glad Facebook was not around when I was in school. But I have never thrown up in anyone's car. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I have either, though. I've done pretty much every other terrible thing. So, you know, I can't get mad at people who are just being drunk and obnoxious because I've been worse. But, you know, a lot of times, it's weird. A lot of times the drunk passengers are just very oddly grateful. Like you're doing them a huge favor. It's like you're picking up your friend instead of charging people for a service. So I think that inspires them. They want to be nice. You know, they feel like you're doing them a favor, and they don't want to be jerks about it. And who knows? Maybe there's a bit of a Black Mirror aspect to it. If anyone's seen that episode where everyone has like a social ranking that's based on this app, and you can kind of see it above their head, and it's a little goofy, but it was weird. Anyway, so with Uber and Lyft, drivers are required to rate passengers after every trip. And I think people maybe feel self-conscious about having a low rating. I know as a driver, I was crushed when I got a 3-star. I have no idea what I did wrong. It's one of those 1 to 5-star systems where anything less than a 5 is considered bad. And I'd had a perfect 5 until that. So I was quite mad.
You know, the thing about rating systems, though, is some people leave three stars and they mean it's just fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's got their own thing in their head about what that means. So I wouldn't take too much offense to it. Though, I will say someone left our podcast a 3-star review on iTunes and I'm kind of upset.
See? See?
Now, they had a valid complaint about sound quality, which is something we are working on.
Yeah.
For sure. And we're going to continue to work on it until it's completely awesome. But anyway, as a driver, you can see someone's rate, like a passenger's rating, right? Before you even pick them up?
Yeah, yeah. You know, when a request comes in, the only things it shows before you can accept or decline the request is the distance to the pickup location and the passenger rating. It doesn't show you their name or where you're picking them up. So I think that's a relatively new feature. I think at first it used to show like their name, their picture, and where the address you're picking them up at, but people were declining a lot of trips if they were in maybe a bad neighborhood or something, which I don't think is fair. Everyone deserves to be able to use the service, and I always accept trips. But you don't get their name and exact location until you accept the request, and oddly enough, you don't know where they're going until you pick them up. Again, I think that's drivers would cancel if it was just a minimum fare, short ride. They don't want to drive 10 minutes out of their way for that.
Right. Or the opposite, like you're getting ready to finish for the night, and then you've got a request to drive somewhere an hour away?
Yeah, exactly. Although they do have this nice feature, any trip over 45 minutes as a driver, you get a notification before you accept it. So it says, long trip, warning. You know, although I did have one night where I was close to my house and I was thinking about going to bed, and I got a nearby pickup and I figured, all right, he's probably just going from his apartment to his friend's apartment or something like that. It turns out he wanted to go to Chapel Hill, which is less than 45 minutes away. So, you know, I didn't realize that until I picked him up.
But you went ahead and took it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Long trips pay much better. You get paid in Uber for distance, not time. So it's a lot better to spend 30 minutes on the highway for one trip than, say, 30 minutes for two trips through the city where you're hitting every red light because you don't get to drive down McDowell Street.
Well, you know, that'd be me pretty much when I take Lyft. It's the short trips. But, right. You know, with taxi cabs, like traditional cabs, you're sitting in traffic and you're watching the meter tick upward. So that's not how it works with this, right?
Yeah. And it's... I feel like they should maybe charge sometimes for time, just because a lot of passengers at 2 in the morning, they want to go to Taco Bell or Cookout or something, and it's always a long line. You have 4 passengers in the car. It takes them 10 minutes to place the order. They want to pay separately, and you know, you're wasting about 15-20 minutes on that, and Uber pays drivers about 14 cents a minute. the bulk of the fare, like I said, is for distance. So you're just losing money, basically, doing those drive-thrus and stuff like that.
All right. Well, I'll be sure not to make anybody take me through that drive-thru because I didn't realize it worked out like that. I think with Lyft, so when I use that, it just tells you the estimated fare, and then it bills you when the ride's over.
Yeah, I checked because I am an Uber passenger as well, and they don't really break down. Like, as a driver, I can see the fare. It's like, here's how much Uber got. Here's how much you were paid for the distance. Here's how much you were paid for the time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as a passenger, it just tells you, like, if there's any tolls or fees and the base fare. So you see your base fare, and my pickup was at RDU, and there's a $3 pickup surcharge at RDU. So that got billed, but the driver certainly does not get any of that. And I don't think Uber does either. I think that's just straight to the authority.
Yeah, we'll have to ask about that when I finally get the airport people in here. So you're doing longer trips as a driver because they pay more, but are the passengers any different? I would think it's a different dynamic if someone's in the car for, like, you know, 10 minutes, like I might be, or 30 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. You're definitely more likely to have a good conversation. My two favorite passengers so far were both long trips. One was, well, actually, I'll try and keep it as vague as possible in the interest of privacy. Pretty sure there's something in the end user agreement about privacy of passengers. And I wouldn't want someone spilling.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble for doing this episode.
Right. Well, I checked. They said as long as you're positive, and since I enjoy Uber, I don't have a problem being positive about the experience.
Well, I wasn't super positive, but I don't work for them, so.
Right. And I'm sure they're among our thousands of listeners.
I'm sure they
Uber
are.
Executives. Right. I'll play this in the car while I'm driving. We'll see what happens. But yeah, so I'll keep it vague just because if I was an Uber passenger and I was like drunk or something, I wouldn't want someone going out there and telling the story with identifying details. So anyway, this one pickup, it was a 20-something young woman, and she was traveling about 45 minutes north of her pickup location. So I had that long trip warning. She was a little tipsy, you know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, but she was just really funny, and she kept like making things up about herself to see how I'd react. And we were just kind of like bantering, I guess. And you know, most conversations you have are just very formal. How long have you been doing Uber? Oh, do you do Lyft as well? Oh, you know.
Oh, I definitely
do. You have
a
full-time job? Yeah. Right. And no, everyone does, because you're always curious about it, but it's the same conversation. So yeah. When you have something different, it's a nice surprise. You know, we just had a good time. We listened to rap music on Pandora, which I usually just play like 80s pop or something. So it was a nice change of pace. But the other one, it was a guy going about 30 minutes east from his pickup, and speaking of music, he was a huge music aficionado. He requested that I play a song from my favorite artist, which made me a little uncomfortable at first because I didn't know what popped into my head. I picked Regina Spektor.
I had no idea.
Yeah, and so he liked it. He seemed to enjoy it, and we were talking a little bit, and then I said that I had like a playlist that I listen to when I'm doing Uber, but I don't have a passenger in the car, and then it had Touch of Grey, the Grateful Dead song, on it. And so he got all excited. He's a big Grateful Dead fan. So we put on like a Grateful Dead playlist, and he was like kind of drunk, and he sang along to Touch of Grey, but he was a really nice and interesting guy, and we just had a fun time, and he left a big tip.
Awesome. Sounds like you meet a variety of people. Do most people tip then?
No, and I think with Uber, they only added in-app tipping pretty recently, and one of their selling points has been, you know, it's cheaper than a taxi, and you don't have to tip. So for a lot of passengers, if they've been riding Uber for years, there's this expectation or this idea that they don't need to tip because the drivers are making a ton of money. Drivers used to make more money, but, you know, there's so many drivers on the road, there's not as many surges and all that kind of stuff. But I'd say it's maybe 10 to 20% of people tip. As a passenger, I always tip, but I don't hold it against anyone who doesn't, because I understand.
Okay. Yeah, I usually tip, I guess, but it's usually a real small amount, because I'm generally going literally like 3 miles, and
yeah, and
probably should have walked anyway if it's raining or something, you know.
Right. And I think most drivers agree, like, even a dollar is nice. I think it's sometimes about the gesture more so than like, oh, I got $100, which never happens. It's just nice when people are considerate like that, I guess.
Well, when I was a cocktail server at a bar, I got one $100 tip. That was pretty awesome.
Man.
Just the once, though. That doesn't happen.
But you remember it to this day.
Of course.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that really stands out. Yeah.
You know, I mentioned earlier, you can see a passenger's rating before picking them up. So on those driver forums I've mentioned, there's some of the other drivers say they'll rate someone 4 stars if they don't tip in cash, which is ridiculous, because if everyone did that, passengers all have like a subpar four-star rating. And then, of course, those same drivers turn around and say they won't pick up anyone rated below a 4.75. So, yeah, good luck finding anyone to get in your car, buddy.
Well, and who are these people carrying cash around with them?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I never have cash.
Yeah, that's why.
Really never. So I'm sorry, Uber driver, Lyft driver. I'm never going to tip you in cash because I just don't carry.
That's why I was so glad they introduced the in-app tipping, because like I used to have to carry cash if I wanted to take an Uber, which like took away from the experience. And I think that was probably part of the tipping thing too, is they're like, oh, no cash, blah, 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 blah. But yeah.
So if I'm a passenger and I've got, let's say, a low rating of 4.25, what happens to me?
You might end up waiting a little longer for a ride. I don't know. I'll pick up anyone. Like, I'll look at their rating. I'm like, ooh, a 4.6. I wonder what they did wrong. But I've never had a problem with a low-rated passenger. It's funny. There was actually a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode about it this past season, where Larry was in an Uber car and he was behaving like, if anyone watches the show, he was behaving like himself and got into an argument with the driver and got a 1-star. And that was his only rating. And I don't know if it really works like this, but he had like a 1-star rating on Uber. So like drivers. So one time he ended up waiting like 45 minutes for a ride. And he's asked the guy, what took so long? He said, well, no one wants to pick you up. You have a 1-star rating. I was just curious and came by to see what happened. but yeah, like I know that drivers will skip that. But there's so many of us out there that I think a lot of them are like me. And they'll just pick people up because they know other drivers can be petty about their ratings. But what's interesting, a driver's rating, if it goes too low, below like a 4.6 or something, you can be deactivated.
Deactivated? This sounds like an 80s, you know, movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, right, or something. Right.
You've been deactivated.
Yes,
yeah.
I can totally hear it.
yeah, it kind of makes it sound like robots or something. I guess we are programmed in a certain way. There's a lot of like algorithms in play that no one really seems to understand that give you a long ride or a good tipper. You know, maybe it's random, maybe it's not, but it sometimes feels like you're playing a game. It's a fun game though, and I've actually enjoyed my experience, as I said before. It's not as fun as Crazy Taxi, which was an awesome video game, and I kind of wish it was more like that. Like, passengers pay you extra for doing crazy stunts, but I don't think that would fly with the insurance companies.
Probably not. And maybe that's true in Miami or somewhere.
Right.
I'd really love to hear, though, from a woman who drives for one of these companies. I think it's a little bit harder. I mean, you've had some good experiences, but,
yeah,
you know, and as attractive as you are, James, I just think that it might be a little different if you're a pleasant to look at lady or any lady, just because you just have to do a lot more crap for people, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think about that sometimes. If I was a woman, would I want to be out at 3 o'clock in the morning on a Friday picking up drunks? Probably not. You know, I have had like some women like kind of flirt with me or whatever, because like you said, I'm so attractive, but it's no big deal and it's harmless.
Sorry, I shouldn't laugh. Everybody's gonna think you're just like
hey, they can look me up, they'll see, they'll know the truth.
So you can google how
we're not cutting that out. Yeah.
No, we're not. You can google how Uber changed the world, and of course you're going to come up with all sorts of articles that talk about this, and you know, we did a little bit of that research for the show, but
yeah, and I mean, I wasn't surprised at all. Like, I just typed that in on a whim when we were doing a little bit of show prep here, and I wasn't surprised at all, because one of the things I've heard from passengers and read online and, you know, even some people I know just personally, it just makes life so much easier and cheaper for people who, for whatever reason, can't drive themselves around. It just lets them get around and live their lives, and it's cheaper, way cheaper than a taxi, and a million times more convenient than public transit.
Absolutely. And my husband and I are one car family. And one of the reasons we're able to do that is knowing, and we barely have to use it, but knowing that this is out there for us, because there's taxis in Raleigh, but you know, this is just one more option.
Right, right, right.
And as far as public transportation goes, which we like to talk about on the show, it has transformed the concept a bit.
Yeah.
The setup is, I mean, you know, the drivers aren't technically employed by Uber, right?
Right, right.
You said independent contractor.
Independent, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a for the people, by the people kind of thing.
Yeah,
but nice, and it, you know, people always connect us to the sharing economy. And technologically speaking, there's been a lot of talk about how this has changed transit in terms of, hey, we use technology to do this. So there's the way it changed the business world and the way it changed the transportation world.
Hmm. Yeah. Although I imagine on this podcast, you're going to want to focus more on the latter.
Well, sure. It's like you read my mind. So when Uber first started out in San Francisco, by the way, probably you knew that, people, there was a limited number of cab licenses available at the time, and you couldn't sell them. And most drivers held onto them for life. So, you know, they made a good living this way. Low supply, high demand, etc. But for passengers, this was a raw deal. You know,
yeah,
it's inconvenient and expensive. Planet Money actually did a whole podcast on these medallions in New York, which is what they're called out there. And you could sell or buy them, but they were valuable, like hundreds of thousands or even $1 million. It's really fascinating.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And I think a lot of unions, I've heard you can pay like $30,000 to get into a good paying union or liquor license, just stuff like that. It's pretty interesting how the dynamic works out. But anyway, I would say the first and biggest impact Uber had was on the taxi industry. Taxi drivers have fought Uber pretty much every step of the way in every city that it comes into. And now a lot of ex-taxi drivers are Uber drivers.
Right. And you could see why they would fight it since they had like a hold on this market.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's just a huge change for them. And, you know, I've heard the arguments that they know the streets better. But, hey, we all have GPS now. So yeah. I'm not sure I buy that one. But from a business aspect, it is interesting because Uber was tapping into this unfilled demand for cheaper cab rides. I mean, here's competition.
Yeah.
Or did it grow the existing demand for cabs through lower pricing?
Yeah, I mean, but I think both are possible. And, you know, one thing I've heard from a lot of my late night bar passengers is how even with surge pricing, you know, I'm sure passengers have seen that at busy times, it'll double or triple the rate that you're paying. Even with that, Uber is so much cheaper than a DUI, of course. So I think a lot of people possibly are using Uber or Lyft who would never have considered taking a cab before. They might have just tried to drive the 2 miles home, which thank God they're not doing that anymore.
Yeah, although, I mean, obviously I'm questioning their judgment because it's whatever, but yeah. You should still not be driving regardless of how expensive a cab is.
Yeah, that, the DUI is like
$10,000 and you might kill somebody, but yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah. but there have been some studies that say, yes, Uber reduces the amount of alcohol-related car accidents. And then, of course, some other studies show that it has no measurable impact, so I guess we'll have to wait and get, you know, more studies and more data. Exactly.
Yeah, and I think they all kind of looked at data. I'm sure, as you know, Jennifer, you can manipulate data to do anything that you want. If you want a certain outcome, you can sort of limit the parameters, et cetera, et cetera. So, but, you know, I have no doubt that Uber's had a positive impact in that sense, even if alcohol-related crashes aren't dropping by 60%, which is what one study of Portland showed. I mean, even if it's only saved one life, isn't that sort of like a net positive either way? It's certainly not increasing the number of accidents, so that's got to be good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, even if it's saved one life, like you said. But ride-sharing has had a huge negative impact, of course, like we were saying, on the taxi industry. Good for passengers.
Yeah.
And there's been a similar dynamic going on with public transit. So the University of California, Davis studied this last year. They were trying to figure out, okay, what impact is this really having on public transit? And researchers found that once a respondent started using ride sharing, he or she is less likely to use public transit. So according to the report, ride hailing attracts Americans away from bus services, a 6% reduction, and away from light rail services, a 3% reduction. Now, on the other hand, these services can complement the use of commuter rail. The survey showed a 30% net increase in commuter rail use among those who said they use ride-sharing services. The report's lead author, Regina, I'm not sure if I'm going to say her name right, Clulow.
Yeah, go that sounds right.
Summed it up in a statement given to a local newspaper. Here's what she said. Although we found that ride-hailing can be complementary to transit and reduce vehicle ownership for a small portion of individuals, we found that overall these services currently facilitate a shift away from more sustainable modes towards low-occupancy vehicles in major cities. And all that is basically saying it could work out to complement transit, but for the most part, people are using this in place of their other transit.
Yeah, and that's particularly interesting about the commuter rail increase and the light rail decrease. I guess it just makes, you know, it's easier to get to the commuter rail with an Uber or something.
You're taking commuter rail farther usually.
Yeah.
You know, depending on your city. So.
Yeah, when I was in Virginia, I took an Uber to the train station to get into D.C.
Right.
It was just a lot easier than driving there myself. But, you know, I'm not surprised at all that people find it more appealing than taking the bus. Although in some markets, Uber offers a service called Uber Pool, where you pick up multiple passengers at different stops and then you drop them off at their respective destinations. I think it's a lot cheaper, but it doesn't seem terribly popular among the drivers or even the passengers.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that either. I mean, we all just really love the comfort of our car and we want to be there by ourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
It drives me nuts, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But that does, you know, that kind of makes the Uber drivers not sound so nice. I mean, they don't want to act like bus drivers.
Yeah, exactly. I think a lot of it's just venting on the internet. People exaggerate some of these stories they tell. I mean, no way they'd be deactivated from the platform immediately. But you know, it's fun to read like people just blowing off steam. I think all service industry jobs are like that. I think someone had said, one thing every service job I've had in common is that people like to complain about it, even though they keep working there, because they deep down they enjoy it, but it's a fun thing to, you know, have your little rants about.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's human nature to complain.
Yeah, just absolutely. In
general. The other thing about that study, though, is it found that ride sharing is likely to contribute to growth in vehicle miles traveled, or VMT, in the major cities represented in this study. So according to the Clulo person who led the study, her research showed that 49 to 61% of ride-sharing trips would not have been made at all if the services didn't exist, or would have been made by walking, bicycling, or on public transit. So that's interesting, because you're saying, oh, I don't have ride-sharing, I'm just not going to go at all, which I find kind of weird.
Right.
I get that you might have walked or taken your bike instead, or a bus, but I don't know.
To not go at all, yeah. And that sort of speaks to what you were saying earlier about, you know, is Uber creating demand for this new service? And that certainly makes it sound like they are. I just can't believe how high the number of trips that would not have been made at all without ride sharing was. But
I guess it's convenience. You know, we're Americans. Yeah. We love our convenience.
Right.
On a local level, though, GoTriangle, and this you kind of mentioned when we were talking about these studies, they are partnering with Uber and Transloc to help connect commuters to public transit. So the idea is that you could, you know, plan a route that includes an Uber ride to the bus stop.
Oh.
And we're going to add the link to that news in our show notes. And I'm really glad to see our transportation people are thinking about this. A few of the studies and articles we've read mentioned the impact this may have on urban planners. So I kind of wish we had Eric Lamb. He's the Raleigh Transportation Planning Manager in here. Maybe he could share his thoughts on how Raleigh's going to adjust to this. But, you know, if he's listening to this episode, maybe he can write in with some comments.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Although, I honestly, I think the longer term thing they need to plan for is self-driving cars, although in my not so humble opinion, I don't think those will ever work until there's no more human drivers left on the road, because self-driving cars have to obey all traffic laws at all times, whereas human drivers ignore probably 50% of the traffic laws at any given time. So I think it would cause a lot of accidents in the long, if there's 100 of those on the road, I could see a lot of accidents. Even though I know their track record is good now, we'll see.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. So we can do a separate episode about that.
Yeah.
And maybe we should do one called Raleigh 2049, where we talk about like future transportation problems.
Nice. But if Futurama taught me anything, I imagine we'll all be traveling around in giant sort of city-spanning pneumatic tubes.
Oh, I thought that was Minority Report. Don't they have those zippy little...
Tubes,
pods, whatever, that are just like whirring by so fast.
Right.
You get around the city.
Yeah. That's fair.
Anyway, we're digressing. I think we've kind of covered some of the pros and cons of ride sharing. This wraps it up today. Thank you, James, for offering some insights on what it's like to be an Uber driver. Next time I'm looking for some sort of side gig, I will think about it.
Yeah. And, listeners, we want to hear from you, too. If you have any thoughts about our discussion today, please go ahead and share them with us. We'd love to hear about your experiences as a driver or a rider and your thoughts about its impact on transit here in Raleigh.
Yep. You can email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. If you are a fan of ours, Go ahead and review us on iTunes or your podcast listening platform. If you're not a fan, don't review us. But I promise we will try not to be hurt by your 3-star review if that's how you feel we're doing. So thanks again, and we'll catch you next time.